How's everyone doing? Everyone good? Having a good conference? Okay, glad to hear. I think we waited long enough. We'll have folks trickle in, so welcome. Welcome to the talk on Azure Redis Cache. So I'd love to start most of my talk by setting the right expectations on the next hour. I'd love for you guys to be here, but I want you to be here for the right thing. Azure Redis Cache, we announced our preview this Monday. So it's, I guess, the first talk we've ever done on Azure Redis Cache. You get to be alive for this. That's what folks are here for. Okay, excited?
Yeah.
Existing Redis users, folks who've used Redis. We have one gentleman here. He'll call me out when, or he can talk to and talk about Redis and its ecosystem that they've built. Existing cache users of Azure Cache in general, our existing family of caches, a few. Okay, so for most folks it's new. I think there's also, as you migrate to the cloud, I find a lot of folks getting interested in distributed caching. As you scale your app, it becomes more important. So we're seeing a lot of interest around cache, and I'm glad to have you guys here. So next 1 hour, Azure Redis Cache. We have a lot to cover, so we'll do a lot of breadth. It'll be a beginner intermediate session. I do plan to put all this material up as soon as I get in front of a computer after the talk. I'll be skimming on a lot of topics, but if that whets your appetite, I'll just be teasing you a bit, but all the material will be up. You can go to my blog, get it, go deeper into the implementations. But over the next 1 hour, we'll try to cover as much of Redis as we can, from Redis itself to our implementation or hosting of it on Azure, to just some caching patterns and what you can do with the power that Redis provides. Sounds good? Okay, let's get started. This is what I alluded to. We'll spend some time talking about what is Redis, do a little bit of hello Redis, hello world in Redis itself. Then we'll talk about what we are doing in Azure, and then some patterns on real-world scenarios you can achieve using Redis Cache. So what is Redis? And instead of trying to describe it myself, I just looked at what the community in Redis thinks of itself as. If you look at redis.io, that is their homepage, this is how they describe themselves. Open source BSD license, absolutely. Advanced key value store. So for those familiar with Memcache, the managed cache from Microsoft itself, that's where these fit in. Key value store, that's what we think of when we think of Redis. And it is often referred to as a data structure service. And this is an important aspect of Redis that you'll see keep coming up. They've taken cache from key value pairs and taken it beyond. They have, in some sense, attached computing to just the data that you store. Not only will they store it for you, they'll sort it for you, they'll perform basic operations on it. And this, from my look at the Redis community, has been the gateway drug. People come to Redis for the data structures, and then they stay for the performance, the pub/sub, the persistence. But that's what differentiated Redis, and they've just run from there. So a key value store, just like the caches we are used to, and a lot more. Here's a quote I got from Salvatore on Redis. He was asked, how do you describe Redis? What's it used for? Again, a few important things come out. In the Redis terminology, it's often seen as something between a cache and a NoSQL DB. It definitely is not a DB, because wherever they had to make compromises in choosing between persistence or reliability and performance, they've always made the choice towards performance. So it's a highly performant system, sometimes at the expense of persistence, reliability, or absolute persistence, but it's more than a cache. It's somewhere between a cache and a DB. And again, the concept of data structures, very integral to the vision of Redis. So that's enough slide for now. Let's just play around a bit, see what it looks like in the real world. And as I did mention, and I'll point this again, I will be putting all the material up on my blog. So feel free to enjoy this. If there's anything that you find interesting, it will be on my blog, and you can go to the next level of details there. Redis, redis.io, I already mentioned this, a great place to start learning about Redis, a very vibrant community as well. Another aspect to look at is who's using it. Here are a few big names in there. If you look around, you'll find a few others, and they're just not references. These links typically take you to deeper dive case studies on how exactly they're using it. I apologize. Sorry, folks. Redis.io, this is what you would have seen earlier. Who's using Redis? Again, off the Redis page, a few big names in there. They link to case studies. It's not that when they say Flickr or Twitter is using Redis, it's not using it for an HR app that their folks use to do expensing. It's being used in production, on their live sites, at scale, for Twitter, GitHub, Flickr. Also something you might have missed earlier, and I apologize. Here's my blog. I'll have stuff up there. So folks can go into the next level of detail right there. Another piece interesting as you move to the Redis community from Microsoft, the MS OpenTech page on Redis. MS OpenTech a few years back ported Redis to Windows. You can find their GitHub page. That's where you can download the tools that have been ported to Windows. You can just compile their port here, or they have a NuGet package where they share the binaries as well. So again, all available in highly usable form. And we've taken it to the next level with Azure. So let's play around a bit. What does Redis look like? What I'm going to do is, the NuGet package I talked about, I have the contents of it here. You'll see a Redis CLI, the client, Redis server. There. I have Redis server running on my machine. Folks who've used other client cache technologies in the past, you did not have to set up a cluster. There was not a big MSI you had to install. It did not take any time at all. You copy the bits over, you run them, you have a Redis server running on your machine. You want to connect to it, Redis CLI. Since I have the server running on the default port, there, the client is connected. I have a client server application using cache, talking to it. Ping, I get a pong back, we're all set. It's a cache demo, let's do a set. What do? Set hometown. I come from a city of Pune. That's my hometown. Do a get hometown. There. Folks might not know where Pune is. They might not even know it's in India. So let's do this. My bad. There. Again, not the commands per se. The fact that we got started in a few minutes are doing basic commands on Redis, set, get, append, What else do you do? Let's give Pune a number. Its population, 6 million. It's a big town. Want to increment it? $6 million 1, $6 million 2. Decrement by? There. Basic commands, set get. You treat it like an integer. You can perform operations like increment on it. A whole slew of commands. Again, available here. Now let's look a little bit more at these commands before we move on to something more interesting. We've talked about these data structures. So let's look at one of them. Let's look at sets, for example. Something representative. What can you do with sets at this level? So let's say I create a set. This is set add. I'll call it cities in California. You'll see this pattern in Redis for keys. It's almost like namespace cars. Cities, California, SF, LA, Oakland. There's a Dublin in California, I believe. There. You list them out. You have a set for you. Let's create another set for cities in Florida. Miami. Tampa. And I believe they have a Oakland there as well. And now we do an intersection between these sets. You get back Oakland. This is the computation I was talking about associated with the cache. You could put data in there, but you could extract data without having to get down the two sets into the intersection yourself. You have Redis do it for you. It's unique that Redis does that for you, but what's also very unique is in what performant fashion it does it. It's highly performant, getting the compute as close to the data as possible, and that's what really adds up at scale. So fine, we got a client talking to a server, played with some data structures, but that's not what you are here for. Let's move to the next level, and the next level naturally are a bunch of client libraries that folks have written on these basic commands on Redis. And there are a whole slew of them. One big advantage of the Redis ecosystem, and you'll hear me mention the ecosystem multiple times, is that a vibrant ecosystem comes with a whole set of tools, libraries, clients, and support on Stack Overflow, for example. You ask the question on Stack Overflow on Redis, you'll have experts in minutes from the community helping you out. There already are a few C# ones. You'll see me using stackexchange.redis. Serverstack.redis is a good one as well. They have a free and a paid offering for this. And there, you have pretty much any language you can think of. You have a library for it. A language you use, you don't see a library. You can build one and become part of the community. Okay, so let's see what that looks like. TechEd Hello All, just an empty console project. So let's install the NuGet package for a client library and play around with that. StackExchange.redis, from the same folks who run StackOverflow.com, a .NET shop using Redis on production. And I guess it's still. Try once more. Did I mistype something in there, or we'll just find it from? It to that type mistype package install itself. Let's do it while. A few interesting things about having multiple client libraries in there is that you get to choose, I guess, the semantic that works best for you. There's not a prescriptive semantic from Microsoft. The one that works for you. Once more. There you go. We have the client library installed. I had a using statement in there. And? Get started. So StackExchange.Redis has a concept of a connection multiplexer. And what this does, it allows you to have multiple collections on your clients to your cache and maintain them. You can choose to have more than one, scale it out, and that's where this comes in. So I'll just call it connection. And it has a static on it, and we'll use it to connect to the cache. In this scenario, we can start by just connecting to the local cache. Let me start the server again. And then we'll move to running it on Azure itself. Server in there. Localhost, and that's all I need to do to connect to it. Next, from the connection, you have a connection to your cache. Redis has the concept of allowing you to have multiple DBs, multiple named caches, if you may, to that particular connection. So that's what we can do here as well. There. You have a cache you can talk to, and now we can do a string set and do our teched hello world. The teched key, and we say hello world. The program runs, it writes to the key. We are connected to the same server using our Redis CLI. And we'll try again. Connector established, and we wrote to the database there. There, the teched key set up for you. We spent around 10 minutes. We've played around. I realize you've been patient with me. We've been right in the guts of Redis. But again, that's not what here you guys are for. You guys have to figure out that I have my application at scale. I need to run it on Azure. What can you do for me? So let's do that. Let's move to Azure. portal.azure.com. There's also a manage.windowsazure.com, which is our current portal. This is known as the preview portal for Redis, for Azure. We've added Redis to that. We're in a transitionary phase where we're moving to the new portal, and services are moving there slowly. Redis being one big service, already on the new preview portal. New, Redis Cache Preview. You provide a name for the cache. Deckhead. You choose your tier. And here's what it looks like. What we are offering at the preview are two tiers, standard and basic, and in two sizes, 250 MB and 1 GB. This is a free preview. We are planning to start charging in early July, where we'll also be offering a whole other set of larger sizes of caches as well, and then GA sometime in summer or later this year. You'll see there are two SKUs, basic and standard. Basic is what you'd expect, a cache node hosted for you in Azure, a single node by itself. However, in standard, what we also do for you is add replication. Azure, Redis has a concept of master-slave. You can have slaves for a master, and Redis replicates data between them. Anytime you do a write to a master, there is an async operation that gets started to write data to the slave as well. We use Redis replication to provide hosted replication on the cloud, where, as far as you are concerned, you get an endpoint, and we make sure that if the master goes down, we do the work to keep the slave in sync and bring this, upgrade the slave to master. So from your perspective, there is continuous increased availability. So standard and basic tiers. We can just keep the default, which is standard 250 MB for now. Resource group, a new concept introduced recently, allows you to club your resources together. Subscription, a location for preview. We are supporting 4 data centers and will be adding to it down the line. Hit create, and you'll have an Azure-hosted, distributed, highly scalable cache ready for you. Any questions so far? Yes. So I'm not deeply familiar with SQL Always On, but I can talk more in a bit to what it looks like in Redis. One thing you did not notice when you were creating the cache was the concept of a cluster or the concept of multiple instances. Here, each Redis cache is hosted on a single machine. It's a single memory piece that you are talking to. If you would like multiple instances, you can have multiple Redis caches and shard them on the client or shard them logically in terms of your data structures. And we'll get to that in a bit. Now, while this cache comes up, and this takes a while because it's based on an actual VM being allocated for you. So I have a TechEd Hello World already pre-created. The cache is running. The portal lets you know immediately. You get some basic diagnostics. Or when I was playing around with it earlier, your memory use and any alerts that you might have set. A quick start will get you to getting the right client, everything that I've showed so far, getting documentation. You'll notice an ASP.NET session state provider. We ship that for Redis as well. So if you're doing a session management using session state providers and would like to back it up with the cache, there's one that exists for Redis already. And we are already working on one which has Redis as the front of your session state provider with persistence to back it up as well. provision the cache on the cloud. You need two things to connect to it. You need the URL. You need your host name. And so that's here. And you need the keys to be able to talk to it. Very similar to block. So the basic example that we had earlier where we were talking to localhost, all that needs to change there now is I put in the name of my server. I say SSL equal to true. We support both SSL and non-SSL endpoints, but highly recommend using SSL in production. And next, I need my key. And there, I'm talking. Now, just show it go through. Oh, my bad. Sorry. And there, you provide the password, and you connect to it. Again, not very impressive by itself, but the fact that now you have an endpoint that's managed for you. You did not have to do anything about it, just a few clicks on the portal, and you have a managed cache running for you on the cloud. A few more things that you can do with the cache. Let's look at one around monitoring. I have a cache which already has some pre-assigned monitoring data for you. But there are a few things that make it expensive to host the cache on the cloud. One is just maintaining your server, making sure it gets patched, making sure it stays up, taking care of the security. In this case, all that is handled for you. The other piece is trying to figure out, diagnose stuff when things go wrong, being able to have the right telemetry, having the right data stored. Here, all of that also comes for you for free. Here's some data on the cache. You'll see a few memory spikes from when I was using it earlier. You can choose to edit the query, modify it, see data based on custom ranges, saying that show me for a particular time range, things when you had customers complain about issues with your cache, or get time for individual instances. So here we are looking at memory, something you'd want to track, and if you're running hot, potentially upgrade. Or shard your cache. There's that piece. CPU as well. If you have CPU intensive loads, using cache. Cache hits and miss, which we track for you by default, or you can customize it. In terms of get and set commands, evicted and expired keys. Evicted keys being something folks like to set alerts on. If you're running your cache really hot, one way you want to be notified is if eviction is setting in and your keys are getting evicted, a good indication that you're running your cache a bit too hot. And you can choose to, if needed, plot all of these on the graph itself. Again, all of this is built in, and we'll only be adding to it. A lot of it comes in the preview. You will see much more investment in the diagnostic here And there, you move to a line graph with all of these plotted in there. Another interesting thing to do is setting alerts. And again, all simple. It's not somewhere you had to go and write a script, not a bunch of REST API endpoints that you had to listen to or track. It's all up here. So let's set one for, eviction, if I don't have one, or let's do hits then, because you're seeing hits here already. So let's say hits. You're doing it on the matrix cache hits, greater than, choose 1,000 in here. Well, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, 45 over the last hour. And you can choose whom you want to be notified when this gets hit. You'll get an email notification. You can set up email notifications to also be forwarded to your cell phone. You can choose to use these alerts directly via API to start off some automated process, if that's how you handle it in your enterprise. And here you'll have your alert be set. They don't like that. There you go. The notification has been successful. I have a few alerts set from earlier as well. And then we'll put load on it during the talk and have them fire up later down the line. So we looked at Redis from a CLI perspective, just played with it, did some hello world. We created one in the cloud. We looked at some diagnostics that just come out of the box. Let's look at what the HA piece was that we had talked about. Now, what I have running here is my own private cache on a machine back at Microsoft. You'll notice this is what we create in the background for a cache for you. Here, it is backed up by two worker roles, one of them being a master and another one the slave. We have an endpoint in front of it, the DNS endpoint that you guys talk to. And in the background, we make sure that there's a heartbeat between the master and the slave. And if the master goes down, the slave gets upgraded to master. And as from your perspective, you see a slight blip in availability, but then things just continue as they are. And all the infrastructure handling of replication comes via Redis replication and the Microsoft hosting on top of it. So this cache that you're seeing the logistics for, is a replication cache I have set up. So let's connect to that cache. There, we've connected to this cache. We've connected to it using our standard endpoint. So we are connected using the DNS endpoint, where the master and the slave that back it up are still hidden from us. We are just talking to an endpoint, and as long as we keep talking to this endpoint, Microsoft or our hosting will make sure that you have an up-to-date master providing information behind it. What we can also do, though, is connect to those endpoints directly. Now, this, again, is something I've done at Microsoft and would not recommend that you guys do in production. So here I'm connecting to one of those instances directly. I'm skipping the load balancer in front of it, or our shim, and talking to the instance directly. And now if I do info replication, you'll see this one, the one on 13,000, is master. and the one on 13,001 is slave. So you have a master and slave set up for you. You talk to it through the default DNS endpoint, and things just work for you. Now what happens, and as it does in the real world a few times, if your master goes down, so the zero is the master, what happens if it gets rebooted? For users who are connected directly to the endpoint, things continue to work for a bit. Now, it takes a while, and I'm pinging the server to get time from it. Now, Azure, I guess it's so highly reliable a system, it does take a while for the reboot to come and actually take your server down. So it, at some point, if you're lucky enough, or we might even be able to catch it, or it might go by so quick that we miss it. So let's give it a little bit of time. Let's see if we catch our master going down. There. You see a slight blip? Let me try connecting to it again now. And there. We are connected back again. What was that? Let's do a time. Highly unscientific. In this particular scenario, it took around 20 seconds. But you had your master go down. Your cache was unavailable for 20 seconds in this scenario. We've seen it be as fast as 4 seconds. We've seen it in that time range. Your cache went down. It was detected. The slave. Let's do that here. Let's now connect back to 3001. Now, for folks who are keeping track, 3001 was our slave. It's now the master. You look at the role there. The slave got propagated to master. The master for is very like is yeah. The master very like is still booting up. It'll be back soon. Once it comes back, it will sync with. It will be a slave now. Sync with the master. Start its being the slave. The master already was replicated using Redis, so had data up to date. It became the master, and things continue with a slight blip. For folks who've used competitive caches, try Elastic Cache, for example. Try doing this there. Try taking a master down. Wait for them to send you an email, and you have to manually go to their portal and upgrade slave to master. Here is replication as a service. The master went down. It was detected, handled, taken care of for you by Microsoft itself. Any questions so far? Looking good? This is what people had in mind? Okay. We're a small enough audience, so if you'd like me to cater it to and go deeper into certain aspects, let me know, and we can do that. So what we've done so far is we played around with some very basic Redis. Let's now move to seeing a few more real-world samples, and I believe that's what you guys are here for, in action. Again, the examples I show here, I'll have them all uploaded to my blog, and you can go into the next level of detail there as well. And I chose an array of patterns to talk about with Redis. The first one, which we actually see fairly often, is Redis being used on top of a NoSQL database, like table or blog, is the bread and butter scenario around caching. Another thing we see people do is use cache as a secondary index into table. So what we have in this scenario is I have a table where I have a million records. These million records, though, in table are indexed by primary key and secondary key, which happens in this case to be company name and company ID. It's not customer name. Now, if you have applications that need to go against that table but need to query on customer name, here's one way to do it. In this scenario, we'll pre-populate Redis cache with an index into the table, but this time indexed by customer name. So what happens is, anytime you need to do a query on a customer name, you ask the Redis cache. The Redis cache returns you the right index into the table, and now you're doing a direct table query directly to the right row and getting the data back. You're doing two queries, one to cache, one to table, but it still ends up being much cheaper than querying table and having to do a linear scan to find something that's not its primary index. There are, let's see this in action, and I'll talk to a few more subtleties of this scenario. So while this comes up, what I've also done, so we talked about the customer scenario. What I've also done then is extended it to products. And the thought here being this. You have a system, you build your primary index. It worked out great for you. Now, you have something similar for products as well. But for products, you actually want to have them be a sorted list. Here, all we are doing in terms of customers is using the cache to be able to query a piece of data and then index it to table. But what if you wanted to do more intelligent operations on it using the data structures of Redis, where you sort of, for example, wanted to get items within a certain price or the top 5 rated items, piece hunks along those lines. So then I have a products query which uses Redis not only as a secondary index, but also a sorted secondary index. Now, Redis is so fast, and the fact that you can actually now start providing intelligent autocomplete as well on the name, because it's coming from a cache. I apologize. Looks like every time I do PowerPoint, it's breaking my... Okay. So here's the app I had up here. I just type in a name, and there. This is going, again, the Redis index. And I can actually provide autocomplete. Now, this would have been impossible to do against a million record table, which was only in storage. But the cache in front of it provides me data in memory that I can perform, access quickly, and perform these operations on it. Here, I'm doing a search for the name. Again, a ping to Redis and a ping. The first ping takes a while. It's mostly the client. This is an end-to-end ping, so the client takes a while to warm up, .NET. But once it does, you'll see the actual pings are fairly quick. In less than 100 milliseconds or around it, we're getting data for a particular customer. Let's say what it would have, and these are two pings, again, one to Redis and then to extract the data from table. Let's see what it would have looked like if we had gone to table directly with 1 million records. And there, it's still spinning. And this takes a while. Now, there are other secondary key hashing strategies for table. And I'm not propagating Redis is the only way to do it. But something to deeply consider, especially with the data structure capabilities of Redis. And there, a marked difference between the performance of going directly to table. Other piece you'll notice as well, and the reason I'm running it again, is that folks use caching for low latency, but also for consistent low latency. The other issue with going to storage is that you see spikes both ways, down and up, and sometimes the spikes can be really heavy. Where caching helps you is low latency, but also consistent low latency. Things stay in the same ballpark. Okay. Now let's do a product search. The product search table is slightly different, and I wanted to specifically make it different so that I could point out how it fares in different scenarios. So a products table, now this product table has million records as well, but it is partitioned by category. So in this scenario, I think we have around 20 categories. So let's say around 50,000 records per category. And now, because your record set is slower, tables start becoming more performant. But even in those scenarios, you will see a market benefit of having Redis in front of it. But what I also did, like I said, was use sorted sets. So now I can perform intelligent operations on that data, like getting a price range or getting a top ranked product. So let's try to just get African Clawed Frog 0. This looks good. We'll search. Again, we're doing both, so it'll wait for data to come back. Now here again, much faster than it was earlier. Why? Because the data set is much smaller. It's 1/20th of what it was. And then you saw a marked difference and table catching up in terms of performance. That said, you still saw a marked benefit from using cache. 1:4, 1:10, you'll see it move between that. But cache stayed consistent. We are staying consistently around 100 milliseconds. So consistent, low latency performance. And it's faster, even it's much faster for larger data sets. But even 1/20th of that size, you're seeing benefits here. You're also, of course, seeing benefits like autocomplete, which would not at all have been possible, or benefits of doing price range. Nothing in that price range. Or did I specify the query string wrong? Let me do. Now, let me do top and then just come back to that in a second. It's still waiting for this one to come back. There it is. I guess I was specifying it wrong. But here's the top 10 pieces of data returned. And there. So you can play around with it, see the difference in there. Cache is consistently faster. Now there are, for those observing, there are categories which have the same rating. So sometimes the actual data that comes back is different because there are multiple with the same rating in there. But here, we can do top 10. I'll do top 100 as well, just to give you a feel of how the return time changes. The other important thing to note here is, and I alluded to this earlier, was Redis being a cache where the entire cache resides on one virtual machine. So one way that most people handle larger Redis caches is doing exactly what we're doing here, where you'll see in code, I have two separate caches, but two logically separate caches. I have a customer cache and a product query cache. I could also have chosen to do separate DBs within the same cache, but I have two separate caches in there, and that's how I achieve my sharding more from a logical perspective. If I know I need to get customer data, I go to the customer cache. The advantage it gives me is that if I have large enough data, for example, for products that I have sorted, I know for a fact that it's guaranteed to be on the same virtual machine, on the same memory, because all the benefits of sorting that we talked about, all the benefits of the larger data structures require that the data structure exists on the same memory for Redis to work on it. So the common pattern you'll see also is just sharding your data logically when it has more than just key value pairs. If all I was doing was key value pairs, I could have just combined them into one table and one cache and be done with it. But here, it helped for me to logically separate them out. Yeah, here are the 100 returned. And you see how long it took. Anyone have any questions? Yes. Sorry, I missed that question. Could you repeat it? Oh, yeah, on different, yes, yes. Yes, so the question was, when we set up master and slave, do we guarantee that they're on different fault domains? Absolutely. Yes, so when Redis does do his walk in terms of upgrades, you'll see the master go down, the slave picks up, and then by the time it comes back to take the slave down, the master is ready with the data to be upgraded as well. So absolutely, yes. Okay. So this was one scenario. The next one, and I'm trying to get as many breadths of scenarios as possible. The next one's real time, SignalR. You've seen a lot of demos doing this. In my case, it's a firework. It's a collaborative firework. People send messages to the server. You want those messages to come back to all the clients connected. What is important here and what makes it interesting for Redis is that you'll notice I have more than one instance of my web server running. Now, if I was just using SignalR, all the clients connected to one server would naturally be in sync, but it would not be distributed. If I need to distribute out, so that multiple people in different geolocations potentially connecting to multiple servers still need to be able to talk to or be able to see the same messages being put on a channel, that's when I need a backpane. And SignalR has had a Redis backpane for a while. In this case, it just becomes much more trivial to set up an Azure backpane. So what happens here is the web server now creates a channel in Redis. Redis has its own concept of PubSub, which in turn talks to all the distributed web servers, and which in turn goes back to multiple clients talking to those web servers. So you've seen the scenario of SignalR, single server, keeping stuff in sync. Here's how it scales and gets distributed out. Let me bring this up quickly. One more for the next one. And here's the firewalls demo when it comes up. Again, I'll put the source code up on my blog. It's a typical SignalR demo. So for folks familiar with SignalR, it's basic SignalR. But if it was only a SignalR demo, and if I was running it right now, I'd have it hosted on localhost. I'll be able to interact with it, but I cannot share it with you guys unless you guys hit my local host as well. So here, this is what the fireworks demo does, but it's no fun. I'd like you to join into the festivities, and that involves a different server, involves a Redis backplane, and you guys talking to it. Now, all I needed to do to get this to scale is install a NuGet package for Microsoft.asp.net SignalR.redis. And then in my startup.cs, just have a global dependency resolver for the global host to use Redis. Again, just provided the query string it needs to talk to. and then specify the name here. What this is doing is it's creating a channel in Redis called Fireworks that multiple subscribers can now listen to and get distributed signal or back pane working. Now I'll run this here. I already have this running on once more. So here, we have the same application talking to the same channel on Redis on a different server. And if folks want to hit it as well, it's Fireworks, it's fireworkredis.azurewebsites.net. This and our local server. It's connected, connect this one. There is connected, get this one to connect as well, and there. Again, the key thing being, once up there on Antares, once here on my local machine, talking to different servers, talking to Redis on the cloud, and having the fireworks, go across Azure. Oh, there it is. Okay. Someone's at least joined into the festivities. Choose your colors, and there you are. Yeah. Again, the key power here is the fact that you could just add a NuGet package, go to a portal, set up a Redis cloud on the cache, connect the two, and have a distributed application like this, which at one point used to require architects, used to require big committees and funding to set up a distributed application of this scale. And now we all have that power in our hands with Redis. Again, any questions so far? Yes. Can you subscribe to an event for the failover? Yeah, so we don't have that yet. It is on our radar. We've talked about it. Though I do want to point out, though, in this case, our management of the failover from master to slave is purely managed for you, in the sense that I did go into the details of describing it and showing it, but from a user's perspective, it's just the DNS endpoint that you talk to. You do not have to manage it or add new clients to it. It just gets transparently taken care of for you. Messaging in terms of the fact that cache is down for a small blip might be possible, we do not expect customers to have to react to it or do something specifically. It will get taken care of for them, like it did in this scenario in 20 seconds. Yeah, fair enough. It is interesting from a fact that the cache was down for 20 seconds perspective. But we are hoping that remains to be just an implementation detail, and that 20-second blip is what folks live with, and let Microsoft do the heavy handling for them on maintaining it. That didn't look good. Okay. The next demo I put in there was, now we are into a bit more of, you can say, Redis Labs. Now we're talking more experimental stuff here. This I put in here because, well, Kinect demos are fun, so that's one reason. But then also just to talk about, get your creative juices flowing, to think about what else you can do with Redis. Now, the interesting thing with the Fireworks demo was it was a typical pub sub demo. Your client wants to be informed, it wants to have the fireworks from different folks push down on it so that it can display that. What we have here is a slightly different scenario. We have the Kinect here. The Kinect's connected to a local machine. Let me just quickly plug it in. It's connected to a local machine. The local machine is just the WPF client in this case, just a rich client, sending data to Redis. And what Redis acts essentially is just a circular buffer. It keeps pushing data in there, and then clients keep popping it out from the Redis cache as soon as they're ready to process those messages. Now again, unlike the fireworks demo, this is not being pushed down from Redis onto the client because there is processing involved on the browser, and the browser might not be ready to get new frames and can get inundated. So the scenario is slightly different here. Here we're using the Redis data structures of list to push and pop and maintain a circular buffer where stuff gets in and stuff comes out. It's pulled out by multiple caches, multiple clients in a distributed fashion, and then they display it on their screens. They only care about the latest frames. If a few frames get lost, they're fine with that. If they could not catch up, they just want the latest frames via Redis in a distributed fashion. And there, again, it killed my presentation. I'll bring it back. So let's look at Redis trace. Have it plugged in. What you'll see here will be two projects. The client and the server, essentially. In this case, I'm running, well, the WPF app just runs here, but the server you can imagine being on Azure. Here is running locally as well. Try and get Kinect to pick me up. Wait for my Kinect to detect me. It's not detected it so far. Make sure it's plugged in right. And this does not look like it's going to work. Did folks have any questions while this comes up? Folks have any question on caching all up, what they've seen?
Is the Redis cache available on all the Azure SDK support?
In the Redis cache scenario, we've decided to completely embrace the community. So the clients I showed you earlier were all community clients that exist directly on redis.io. There isn't a client built by Microsoft. We worked closely with the folks that build .NET clients to have a quality client for you. And I was using Stack Exchange where we worked very closely with them. But no, there is no presence in the SDK just for the reason that we're not building our own custom client, so far at least. We'd love to hear your feedback. We are just embracing the client that exists in the community already. Any other questions? Okay, I'll give this one more step, unless I damage this on my way from my hotel room to here. Okay, sorry guys, doesn't look like the Kinect demo is going to work, but from an architectural perspective, it was an example of Redis being used as a circular buffer to store data. So once again, here's my contact information, especially the blog. I'll have all the material up here, there. And that's all I had for you guys, so thank you for coming. We do have 10 minutes for questions, maybe less, 5 minutes, if folks had anything they want to chat about. And do try out the bits. Thank you very much.